18 minutes after 8 o'clock every Monday night. If you're not aware of Crime and Justice Radio, you should be. It is a wonderful hour of tremendous guests. And it's very different than a lot of, you know, crime-type shows and whatnot. They really get down to the crux of things, and I'm talking about centerpieces, guest-related, that you would normally not hear. And that's where Bruce Barquette and Al Isering come into play. From the great firm of Barquette, Epstein, Kieran O'Day, and Loturco. And they got a great one tonight. First of all, we say a very good morning to Bruce and Aida. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend.
Good morning, Jay. Hope you had a great weekend, too.
Good morning. Everything's good. Getting cold, but we're okay.
Getting cold, indeed. 50 right now. We started out in the 40s. You know, a couple of things before we get to tonight's show. You got an interesting one tonight. Two things on the docket for me, and today, Bruce, you have the jury selection as far as the Armored Arbery case. This was the case, in, ladies and gentlemen, you have three individuals charged in the death of Armored Arbery in Georgia. And believe it or not, it seems like an eternity ago, but it was really February 2020. It seems even longer because, you know, of all that's been going on here, but... this individual, a 25-year-old, was shot and killed by this Travis McMichael right in the neighborhood there in Brunswick, Georgia. And there's a lot going on. You got video right at the center of the case here, Bruce, recorded on one of the cell phones there. And it shows Aubrey running down the street before he's confronted by an armed individual, and that of Travis McMichael. There was a bit of a struggle over the weapon. And Aubrey shot three times and killed. This is going to be quite a case as we unravel this here. And it all starts today.
Well, it seems like forever ago because the then district attorney buried that video and didn't charge anybody for months. And eventually the video surfaced and outrage ensued, as well it should have. And then new prosecutors came in and charged the individuals. With murder. The case itself is not all that interesting as the facts of it go. They were driving on the street, they chased this young man down and shot him because he wouldn't comply with their request to do whatever. It's classic vigilante, we were going to make a quote-unquote citizens of arrest for trespass. It really was outrageous, and the outrageous part wasn't just the murder, it was how they were coddled afterwards by the prosecutor in Georgia.
Question, Aida, when you look at this, you know, these three guys, I guess, wanted to question Aubrey about his string of burglaries in the area, and I guess we're trying to make some sort of a citizen's arrest when they shot him in self-defense, by the way. That's what's going to be the center of it all on the other side here. So, you know, you're going to have a little bit of back and forth, but this is a tough one if you're defending these three, no?
It's extremely hard. I mean, one thing that people don't appreciate is as criminal defense lawyers, our jobs aren't to go to trial and win. Our jobs are to counsel people into making the appropriate decisions in their case. Now, I don't know if there's been any kind of mitigation or any mitigation done to try and literally broker a deal. But what you have here is just so ugly that to me, it's going to be very difficult to find a fair jury because the facts, which are pretty clear on video, are overwhelming evidence against these three. First of all, the kid, Ahmaud Arbery, the 25-year-old, was unarmed. And people say they were making a citizen's arrest for a burglary. What intent to commit a crime did he have? He was looking around at some construction site. That's trespass. It's not even a crime in certain states. It's a violation. And for them to chase him down when he's unarmed and doesn't pose a threat to them and shoot him is unacceptable under our law and morals. So I just want to agree with that. The background in terms of how, why the delay occurred, how the prosecutor coddled them and didn't immediately release the video is probably the more interesting legal note.
Case is trying to find 12, right? Whose job will be to decide whether Greg McMichael, Travis McMichael, and William Bryan are guilty or innocent of the crimes charged against them. I mean, how do you possibly take out of the 1,000 or so residents of Glynn County over there down in Georgia and summon them for jury duty? I mean, it's got to be incredibly... That could be the toughest aspect of this case in general, no?
Well, it's always tough to pick a jury in a high-profile case, especially in a smaller county. And what ends up happening is not that people are unaware of the case or the supposed facts of it. It's whether or not they can set that aside and make a render a verdict based upon the evidence in the courtroom. And they'll find 12 people to be able to do that, I think. And it's another national case. We're changing the venue. In other words, switching into a different county really isn't going to help all that much, because everybody, look, if they did it up here, we all know about it, right? So you're just going to have to do the best you can, and hopefully you get 12 honest people who say, look, yeah, I saw stuff on TV, but I'm going to base my verdict on what I hear in the courtroom.
Yeah, interesting. So we'll keep an eye on what happens down in Georgia today as far as the jury selection. One more thing before we get to tonight, Aida. Nicholas Cruz to plead guilty to murdering the 17 in the Parkland school shooting massacre. What is it, 3 years ago now? So it's kind of a change of plea, right? The court hearing will be on, I believe, Wednesday. So the plea, from what I was reading, comes with no conditions, correct? According to his attorney. So what does that mean? I guess he'll be fighting against the death penalty and maybe hoping, for life without parole? Is that the crux of it all here?
That is the goal. A win in the death penalty community is life in prison. It's death in prison, but not by the government calculatingly executing you. And they've done studies wherein they've found one of the biggest factors that compels jurors to find a sentence of life to be appropriate as opposed to execution is whether or not the individual has remorse. And by pleading guilty, especially by pleading guilty with no promise on the back end of what your sentence is going to be, is probably among the greatest indications of remorse one could step forth in front of a jury. So I understand the strategy. It's not easy to get a guilty defendant to plead guilty to life incarceration. I don't know, what went on in the cell amongst discussions between mitigation experts and multiple lawyers to try to convince him that that was the right thing to do. But he's made that decision, and if the jury ends up returning a sentencing verdict of the death penalty, that would be extremely disappointing for the legal team, because they have counseled him into pleading guilty to avoid that.
And I guess he can go right to trial. He can avoid trial, Bruce, and go right to the sentencing phase of this all.
Yeah, the penalty phase, they call it. Yeah, look, it's a risky proposition. I think the more rational, but the more ordinary decision for death penalty cases is you try the guilt or liability phase first, even if you don't have a good defense, and you at least lay the groundwork of your sentencing arguments, your mitigation arguments. And here, obviously, there's going to be some kind of mental disease or defect, some kind of intellectual disability defense, if you will. So we'll see how this strategy works, and avoiding the liability phase and going right to the sentencing phase. It will be that'll be interesting.
And by the way, I just want to point out that this is actually fascinating. In some death penalty cases, the defense attorney has not foregone the actual guilt or innocence trial portion of it to trials. And still not challenged the evidence and not cross-examined the witnesses and conceded guilt, but has done so by actually participating in a trial. And sometimes that gives the jury an opportunity to see that the defense attorney isn't being slimy or sneaky or trying to give you a different version of the facts, but is you know, conceding with the government and doing their job, and they have an opportunity to be the defendant and maybe start realizing the bond the defendant might have with his lawyers. And that in and of itself can be mitigating.
No doubt about it. Two prominent situations there. One in Georgia, and of course, what's happening with the Parkland shooter. Tonight, Aida Leisenring, Crime and Justice Radio at 6. You know, never disappointment with guests. You got a good one tonight. Can you tell the folks who it is?
Bruce?
Oh,
yeah, Aida. Who do we got tonight?
I mean, Bruce, well, listen, Bruce and I get guests. Sometimes he finds a great one, sometimes I do. This time, this is Bruce's call, so I'm going to let him introduce him.
Well, we're going to have a congressman and gubernatorial candidate, Lee Zeldin, on to chat about criminal justice issues in New York State. It should be an interesting few minutes. It took some time to track down the congressman, but we're glad we finally did. I think it'll be an interesting show. It'll be different than regular interviews he participates in because our focus, of course, is going to be on criminal justice issues.
Yeah.
We're also going to have retired police commissioner Bill Flanagan on from Nassau County, who's got a very, very unique, a unusual perspective on the criminal justice system, particularly from a highly respected former police officer.
That's a good one. You got a dynamic duo, Flanagan Zeldin, and Aida. You know, I tell you, I don't think anything more prominent in the news these days, especially around election time, comes about regarding bail reform and everything else. I mean, you know, you look at the DA's race, especially in Suffolk County. I mean, unbelievable. And that is, listen, this is it's a topic that really doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. But that will be the focus as far as Lee. Listen, we've had Lee on, you know, and that's a big focus going forward, especially with what's happening out there, you know.
Yeah, he's interesting, and he's interesting for New York. He is a outspoken proponent of the death penalty, so we'll get to chat with him about that. He's an outspoken opponent to bail reform, so we'll get to chat about that. And maybe, you know, his view on vaccine mandates might come up, too. You never know.
It is a must listen to, folks, tonight. I mean that. I'll be listening to that. That's a good one. 6 o'clock tonight, Crime and Justice Radio with great Bruce Barquette, the lovely Aida Leisenring from the firm of Barquette Epstein, Curon, Alterco. See, I'm screwing it up. I screw it up. And you know why I screw it up? Because I know Barquette. I can't see him, but I know he's smart.
I'm chuckling. I can never stay it all together. I rarely
I get it. I'm done.
Hey, BarquetteEpstein.com. That's all you need to know.
But that's Jay, all I'm going with right now, guys. Good stuff. I'll be listening tonight. Keep up the great work, okay?
We'll talk to you soon.
Great talking.
You got it.